Good evening. Welcome to tonight's council meeting. My name is Paula Eat, Mayor of Kingborough, and it's my pleasure to welcome everyone to tonight's meeting on Monday the 17th of October 2022. A warm welcome to those people who have joined us in the public gallery today. We haven't had anyone sitting there for a while, so welcome. And also good evening to those people who are watching at home on YouTube. It's 5:30pm and I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website, and in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the general manager to confirm that the recording has started.
Confirm, Mayor.
Thank you. I wish to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land that we're meeting on this evening, pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reet, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Grace, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Street and Councillor Wass. From our staff this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, Chief Financial Officer, Mr Breen, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Dr Fox, and Manager of Development Services, Ms Tyler Moore, our Strategic Planner, Mr Stander, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Apologies, we have no apologies this evening. Moving now to page one, confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting No. 19, held on the 3rd of October 2022, be confirmed as a true record. Looking for a mover and a seconder. I have a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Bastone. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Still on page one, workshops held since the last Council meeting. We did not have a workshop last Monday evening. Turning now to page two, does anyone have a declaration of interest that they would like to share? General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. There is an item in the closed agenda that I will be declaring an interest in and leaving the chamber. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further declarations? Thank you. Still on page two, transfer of agenda items. Are there any items that councillors wish to transfer from closed into open session or open into closed? No, thank you. Questions without notice from the public. Does any member of the public here tonight wish to ask a question? If so, if you could come to the lectern and begin by stating your name and suburb, and then please ask your question. We do ask that the preamble be kept relatively short so that we can have sufficient time to answer the question. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Melissa O'Keefe and I live at Slattery's Road in Electrona. My questions this evening relate to the landscape conservation zone, which has been proposed quite broadly across the municipality. I have a few questions. My first, can the council guarantee that there will not be any property owners who will be unable to build on their land as a result of being rezoned to LCZ? Or landscape conservation zone.
Thank you. Ms Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mayor, the application of any of the zones through the new planning scheme will still be subject to assessment for in a proposal. So it really comes down to the proposal. You can't just broad brush say that they can't have approvals. As an example, if they want to build a dwelling, they need to meet certain setbacks, certain criteria, might have to do with colours, or access to the properties. So every application is assessed on its own merit, so you can't answer it straight out.
Just in relation to that, I understand that hazard management areas are in conflict to LCZ and that it is a mandatory requirement to have a hazard management area in all areas that have bushfire prone overlay. Will this preclude people from building on blocks because they are unable to have a hazard management area?
Ms Tyler Moore.
Through you, hazard management areas and the requirement for BAL assessments is dealt with under the Building Act 2016, not necessarily under planning. It does apply to planning in some instances, such as subdivision over a certain size and vulnerable uses. So it is not directly related, and no, obviously, it couldn't prevent development or not requiring a hazard management area, so each application would be assessed on its own merits and the requirements around that would be assessed, just as we do in the current planning scheme.
With the current planning, with environmental living zone, there is an information sheet that has been issued that states that the introduction of environmental living created a conflict with regards to the need to clear vegetation and vegetation management for hazard management purposes. There is quite a bit of information on this, pages 88 to 90, contained within the Kingborough Council Land Use Strategy of May 2019. And in there, it is very clear that LCZ is being used to discourage residential development in bush areas.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I'm not familiar with the, off the top of my head, of which document you're referring to. I know, obviously, the Regional Land Use Strategy, but the information sheet about the LCZ, so I can take that on notice. And the application of LCZ is a choice of the zones that we have available to us. There is no intent of preventing development. All the application of all the zones and the code overlays throughout the municipality have different effects on use and development and different planning permit requirements, the same as we have in our current planning scheme.
Thank you. I would suggest that that there is some review of the Kingborough Council land use strategy, because it speaks very differently to the advice that you've just provided. Okay, now thinking about the welfare, health and good safety of the municipality. The Huon Valley Council had over 400 representations. Now, if we have, let's say, even 100 people that engage a councillor, a planner, to prepare a representation, that is a cost of in excess of $500,000 to our community. We are experiencing problems currently with the rapid increases in cost of living, and this is really going to hurt our community. Our community currently doesn't have the avenue to put forward their suggestions without going through to the to the commission. In addition, the council will have to expend money to have representation at the commission also, which is more money from the public purse. That money, I would suggest, could be better used. I've been advised that there isn't even enough money to do public consultation. Sorry. In relation to this.
Can I just ask you to get to your question, please? Because it's not, unfortunately, our meeting regulation procedures don't allow for lengthy statements. So if you could just ask the next question that Ms.
Yes, Tyler, yes, I just need to provide the context. Would Kingborough Council consider requesting the withdrawal of the draft local provision schedule, undertake community consultation, redraft the document, and then people can make submissions? It will save not only the council and the ratepayer money, but also the community more broadly.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I'd just like to answer a couple of the earlier questions of that set of questions. The reference to costing $500,000 for the residents. The system is not set up that the residents need to get representation. This has been a bit of a misguided information that we've seen on social media. The system is set up by the state government that people can just represent themselves at the tribunal. It's done in a fairly friendly environment. They're given generous ability to talk or ask questions. We would almost, if someone asked me directly, should I get a representation, I would suggest it's set up for lay people, ordinary residents, or not ordinary in that sense, but great residents, to be able to approach it and do the TPC, you don't need to go and get these expensive consultants, and I wouldn't encourage people to do it necessarily. Sure, some areas may choose to pitch together and employ someone or get some advice, and it's also worth understanding that even if residents are putting in a representation to council's planning scheme, whether we agree or disagree, we are always there for the community to help explain it. It's the same as when we go to planning appeals for a multi-unit development appeal. If you're the resident and you don't like it and you're appealing against us, we still spend the time and explain how the process works, what you might need to do on the day, how it works on the day, to give an understanding. We provide that service regardless, because it doesn't matter whether it's for or against what we're doing, we provide that. So I would encourage the residents to engage with us if they were nervous about going to the hearings, the public hearings that are held. So we will provide that. The second one was about council spending money on representation at the TPC. That's part of our job. That's what we're doing. We're going to be there regardless of whether there's one representation or 400, and we will give all representations due consideration, and it'll be included in the report that will come back to the council meeting, much as we do with other planning scheme amendments, where we come back, we might make a recommendation. Oh, yes, we've taken this on board, we've now reviewed this. Our recommendation to the TPC should be, actually, maybe rezone this, or maybe apply this code overlay. We've got the opportunity from those representations. And that's the whole purpose of public consultation and representations. It gives us an opportunity to review it, because, yes, it's true, we don't live in every single property. There's over 33,000 properties. We've done our very best to do the zoning as we see fit, and the translations that the state government's allowed us to do that. So there will be some. There might be some that we go, some representations we say either it's not a relevant matter, such as property devaluation is a famous one that planners have to deal with all the time. It's not a planning matter because it's not in the legislation. So we would make comment to that so that the elected members are aware of what they can or can't consider as the planning authority. But ultimately, it's a report for the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission makes determination as to whether they're valid recommendations or not. So, as an example, we might say, oh, OK, let's rezone this township this way after the consultation, but the TPC might say, that's incorrect application of that zoning. You really need to stick with the original zoning, or you may need to do something else. And that's what the hearings are for, and the residents can speak, or the businesses, and the council officers speak as well. So that discussion, that's what the public hearing is for, to have that overall discussion and understanding. But as part of the public consultation that we're going to undertake, we will be able to, we plan to do it in different areas, because most people are only interested in their township or their area. And so we will provide them specific to them, because they can ask what's happening in my town. And we can answer the questions more directly and give them that information so that they're informed when they make the representation, should they wish to make a representation. And sorry, Mayor, I've forgotten what the final question was.
Pulling the whole thing.
The LPS.
Yep.
There is a mechanism which obviously I'm guessing the residents are aware of. Huon Valley has done. Officer recommendation is that the LPS isn't in need of being pulled. I think it's important that we go through the process. We haven't had the response back from the Planning Commission about the methodology and the application of the codes and overlays throughout the planning scheme, because we need to remember there's many, many zones and many overlays and other parts of the planning scheme that are relevant, and we need that direction. So be preemptive to make that sort of decision, and certainly the TPC would give direction in those post-lodgement meetings, which we've commenced, whether there's concerns about the applications. And, of course, they are aware of the public angst about the LCZ and what has occurred at Huon Valley. So it's our intent at our next meeting that the matters of that have been raised by the residents about the LCZ be raised with them and tabled at our next meeting that we've got with them. So certainly we're carrying that through from the public to them for discussion and hopeful response. There are a number of elements about pulling LPS. Your worst-case scenario is that the state government takes on responsibility for the planning scheme and they make the decisions. It's removed from council's hands, which might have, whichever way you look at it, might have pros, might have cons, but it's important to understand that.
Just in relation to representation, it is a cost of $5,000 to $6,000 is what I'm told through people who have engaged a planner. I would suggest that a lot of people wouldn't have sufficient knowledge to be able to go in and put forward a case for themselves. So I would refute that and say that this will cost significant money through the community.
Sorry, is there another question? Ms. Tyler-Moore has answered that she doesn't believe that people need to. We've got a process here, and don't shoot the messenger, but we have to follow the meeting procedures regulations.
Yeah,
it's not up for debate, the response. If you want to ask another question, then you can do so now. Ms. Tyler-Moore has answered that in relation to the cost of a planner, and that it is not intended that people need to fund a planner to make representations on their behalf. That's not how the system is set up.
Right. In the communications, we continue to see that this is only a change on paper, and that there will be no changes in a practical sense. That is incorrect, and for that reason, I would suggest that people get their own representation, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
I will give Ms. Tyler-Moore an opportunity to respond to that. I'll take that as a question because that's a statement that you've made. This is question time. Ms. Tyler-Moore, would you like to respond to that?
Through you, Mayor, I don't believe any of our communication that's come out of Kingborough Council staff says that there are changes only on paper. There are changes. We're well aware of the changes. We've been working with those changes for a number of years, since 2019 and before. So, yes, there are planning control changes about what is required in the different zones and overlays that have to be considered at each time.
Thank you. Has there been any economic or social impact studies done to look at the impacts that LCZ will have on our community?
Ms. Tyler-Moore.
Through you, Mayor, no direct report or assessment has been done in that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else with us this evening have any questions that they would like to ask? If not, we'll continue through the agenda. Questions on notice from the public. We have two. And I'll just reiterate that if members of the public do wish to submit questions on notice, they should send it through to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. We had two questions, one in relation to sporting grounds from S. Clark with an officer's response from Mr. Smee. And on page 3, we had a question in relation to playgrounds from AJ Kingston and an officer's response from Mr. Smee. We turn now to page 4, questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? I've got Councillor Gladewright and then Councillor Cordova and then Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. Just following on from the questions from the community tonight, I would like to understand more, please, about the role of councillors in this whole process. I'll read this out because I'm just trying to make sense of my thoughts. The role of the councillors as the planning authority after public consultation is merely to summarise and comment upon the community submissions made in relation to the draft local provision schedule, forwarding these to the State Planning Commission. So, in that case, if there are areas of overreach and landscape conservation zone isn't justified, what is the role of the planning authority to assist our community members?
Ms. Tyler-Moore.
Through you, Mayor, there is a function of the councillors. So when the report comes to the council following the public consultation period, recommendations can be made, as I referred to earlier. So recommendations may be to do with the application of zoning on particular properties, as an example, and it's important that you still see as the permit authority, so you're still obliged to stay within the parameters of what the planning scheme and the state government is requiring us to do with the planning scheme, rather than the emotive direction of people or persons or businesses and the like. It still has to stay within the parameters of what we can and can't consider. So in the assessment there has to be a justification report that the council has already, which has already occurred and will occur with any adjustments to any parts of the planning scheme, such as we're doing with the specific area plans. We must do a justification report which has about 12 points in it that we do an assessment against, which includes things like, does it match the other plans of the state government, does it meet this requirement, and all these different criteria. So whilst we don't expect the councillors to necessarily do that assessment, we do that assessment and provide advice, but certainly if there's questions or want to understand that justification report that's provided.
So does the justification report come to council in the report? Do we get to see that?
I believe it does, Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, yes it does.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Also, I was reading the officer's report to council dated 26th of November 2019 when this was last discussed. At 7.3, it says, it is also proposed that property owners will be individually notified where it is apparent that there is likely to be a significant change to the use or development provisions that apply to their property. So I was just wondering, has that occurred? And if not, why not?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, that comment in the report of the 2019 report really talks about significant changes, and it would be up to our assessment to determine about what it constitutes significant. If it were to be a notification process where there are many, many people advised of the changes, we would need to consider the resource implications of that. That's not to say that's the reason for doing the notification or not, but it certainly plays part of it. And there needs to be fairness between the different zones and overlay controls that are affected. So to one person, they may think it's really significant, such as LCZ, but to another person where they're going from low density to general residential, then they may think that's significant. So it can be a bit of a feast about what is significant, or maybe your zone's staying the same, but now you've got an overlay code. So there needs to be a pragmatic approach to the notification process around the changes to the planning scheme.
Thank you. Councillor Gladright.
So just to drill down into that a little bit further, do we feel like we're adequately resourced to send every property a letter explaining the zone changes that are proposed?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I think this is probably a decision really for the incoming councillors, the incoming council, to determine what they feel is the most appropriate to meet the needs of the residents, but certainly will be guided by officers, which will also inform the resourcing and the like, or the implications or expectations that we'll bring with that.
Is there any concept of how much that would cost?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, no, we don't have that on hand.
Could we put that on notice, please?
Thank you.
We will take that on notice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next I had Councillor Cordova and Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. My first question is about the basketball ring at Kingston Park Playground. It's come to my attention that the net on the basketball ring at the basketball half court at Kingston Park Playground has become dislodged and is in need of reattachment. Is playground equipment at Kingston Park regularly inspected for faults? And if members of the public do identify equipment in need of maintenance, do you recommend they email kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au, or is there a separate mechanism for playground maintenance?
No, we would encourage them to use the to lodge a service request through that email. But Mr Smee, could you provide us with any specifics in relation to the netball ring?
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. We do have a dedicated team that maintain the Kingston Park playground, and we can certainly have the issue of the net addressed, and yes, it would be appreciated if members of the public could email us to alert us of any maintenance issues required.
Thank you. My second question, Mayor, is about the landscape conservation zone. Would it be possible to open public consultation early to give the community more opportunity to share their perspectives on the LCZ, but also on the other aspects of the draft LPS. And if it's not possible to open it early, why not? Secondly, could we extend it longer if people in the community feel like they need more time to make their feelings known about the LPS?
I don't believe we can. I'll ask Ms. Tyler Moore to comment on this, but my understanding is that we can't open it early because the documents are currently with the TPC, and we can't go out to consultation with something that may change once it comes back from the TPC, because then we'd have to restart consultation again. So we might not be consulting on the same documents, and that's the point that Ms. Tyler Moore and our strategic planner have been trying to indicate over recent weeks, is that the TPC, it's up to them what they do with the recommendations that we've put to them, and this applies now or later on as well. Under the process for this, the state government has mandated a minimum 60-day consultation period, as I understand it, but I'll ask Ms. Tyler Moore if she would like to elaborate on that. A light.
Through you, Mayor, it's correct. The formal consultation period is an 8-week period for residents to be able to meet and make the ask any questions, make representations within that time. We may consider, after discussions with the TPC and the SPO, whether we will have an opportunity to perhaps have some information sessions, so it's not necessarily... it wouldn't be a time to put in representation. The risk with having consultation before the consultation is that people don't realise that they're two separate processes, and only if you put the representation in the second half that they're the representations that count and also give you the ticket to speak at a hearing. So it's important with the public to not cause confusion. While some people are really attuned to what's going on, others of the public aren't as invested or involved, so you do run a risk there, and that's not fair on those residents. But we certainly will continue to do communications through our website and social media as we see fit, as we get closer to it. Again, as I've mentioned in previous council meetings, the reason we're not doing it too early is that we don't see that the advertising period is going to... We're not going to get direction for that probably until the very earliest first quarter of next year, if not halfway through next year. If we do information too early, it's just too much of a gap between the two, and as the Mayor has mentioned, it may change between now and then as a result of the post-lodgement meetings. But as part of the consultation period, there'll be information sheets and specific to certain areas as well, so that it's more relevant to people, easier to digest. Because if you just give them the whole scheme, trust me, it's not the funnest document to read. It's hard to read and hard to go through, and hence why we will have meetings with the councillors and workshops with the councillors as well, because I'm sure many of the councillors will be present at the public consultations in addition to that, so that there's a better understanding and we can share that information across various platforms.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. And so, because I'm very concerned that we need to make sure that the community feel like this is an iterative process, and when they give feedback, that feedback is constructively and meaningfully assessed and then acted upon. So I guess the second half of my question was about, is it possible to extend that consultation process longer if people feel like they still need more time to express their opinion? And while I'm asking that question, will Kingborough Council, in order to achieve a very thorough and robust process, will we be seeking funding from the state government to help invest in an adequate and extensive public consultation process?
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Just in relation to extending it past 60 days, one of the issues when you're doing community engagement is if you start to go over more than 2 months, people tend to lose interest and go, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to bother. So sometimes, you know, like, there can be too short, but there can be too long in terms of engagement as well. So I think that's something that perhaps we need to assess at the time and ensure that we are getting adequate information from the community. And if it looks during that point that there hasn't been the level of engagement that we're to expect, perhaps then we would consider extending it. But we also have to be conscious of the fact that the longer that we extend it, then the whole thing starts to take longer and could cause more stress for people the longer it goes on. So that's not something I don't think that we can particularly answer right now, but I'll ask Ms. Tyler Moore to perhaps add to that answer.
Through you, Mayor, I'll just make the comment that we would need to seek some direction or allowance by the TPC to change what the requirements that are legislated are.
Thank you. And will we be seeking funding to assist us in that process from the state government, whose ultimate responsibility this is?
Ms. Tallamore.
Through you, Mayor, it's not something that we considered, because I think it's very unlikely, because all 29 councils are going through the same thing and I'm not aware of any of them receiving any support funding.
I think I did read somewhere, actually, that some of the very small councils did receive some assistance with some funding, but I think it might have been a comment in Parliament, actually, that one of the ministers made recently, and I think the comment was that the rest of us were well-resourced. So I think that probably is the answer to that.
Thank you. That might be a task for the new councillors. My final question, thank you, Mayor, is about the Callis Group development in the Margate CBD. The Callis Group development in Margate has attracted significant community attention, interest and, dare I say, concern. May I please ask for a status update about the construction works of the Callis Group development at Margate CBD? There doesn't appear to have been any work on the site for a while, perhaps 3 or 4 weeks. So my question is, I've got a series of questions, but my first one is Council aware if an anchor tenant has been secured for the development?
I haven't had any further contact from Mr. Kalis, but I don't know if the General Manager has and could provide.
Can I answer that?
No, you can't, unfortunately, as much as you'd like to. I can only indicate what I've heard very much on the grapevine, and that is that the proposed anchor tenant that had been going to go in there has not signed the lease. I believe there is still work going on there, because every time I've gone past, which has been a couple of times a week in the last few weeks, there has been activity on the site. So I'm not aware that that there is a stop work at all.
Thank you. My next question, and I guess it's worth noting there's probably been some rain as well, so my next question on that is Council aware of the time frame for completion, or will Council be getting kept up to date about any delays should they arise?
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor, it's unlikely Council Cordova. The Callis Group make their contractual arrangements, and they're not necessarily through the Council.
Thank you. And my final question is, what oversight and involvement will Council have in this project with respect to things such as building permits, inspections or approvals? And will reports about that progress of the development be brought to Council on a periodic basis so that the community can stay apprised of what is happening to their CBD?
I'll ask Ms. Tyler Moore to provide an answer to that. We don't usually on individual developments get updates of that nature through Council, but Ms. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mayor, the buildings... they'll have a private building surveyor, they'll undertake all their building inspections. The plumbing inspections will need to be undertaken by Council, because Council is still the permit authority for the plumbing side of it. And there may be other inspections involved if there's impacts or works related to our assets. Other than that, we wouldn't have any updates or oversight, and we would not bring it to a Council meeting. It's that's not normal practice.
Thank you. I think hopefully we'll be able to devise ways of making sure that the community feels that they have some more involvement, so that people aren't left in the lurch as they might have felt over the previous years. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Grace, on your very last
council meeting
after an illustrious career, and I'll say more about that later.
22 years, eh? Just on the planning... I fully understand the lady who raised some issues regarding the issue with Councillor Cordova's conservation zoning. I support the community. In a lot of cases, they're not given sufficient time to be able to lodge their views, and they're not given sufficient information to be able to do it. I've spoken about that many, many, many times, and I don't want to go on any more about it because I can say a lot more, and it's
That's good, because it's question time, it's not question. Statement time.
Well, I'm just saying the question is they're not given enough time.
That's not a question, that's a statement.
Well, all right, take it as a statement. I'm sorry, because I always seem to get a question wrong with a statement, but that's my view on...
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Do you have
now,
a question?
I have. Well, the question is also, if a ratepayer lodges a complaint regarding a development application to the TCP, Planning Commission, they are immediately told, and this is the question, is that they are told if they lose, they have to pay the full cost of that hearing. That's my question. Now,
okay,
what?
Is that correct? So you're asking if that's correct?
Well,
and why?
Yeah, and why?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I think there might be a mix-up between the TPC and Rampart. Was it intended that the question was about an individual planning application as opposed to the planning scheme? I'll take it that it was.
Okay.
If a resident takes an appeal to TASCAT, which was formerly known as Rampart, and they lose, no, there is not automatic award of costs against the person that lodged the appeal. If it was frivolous and vexatious, then it may, but that's the decision of TASCAT.
Just to that, I've been told by people that they are told when they go into the hearing, if they lose, they pay. Now, that's a threat to the people.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I don't believe that is true.
Okay.
And it's the comment is about something that TASCAT is doing, not what council is doing, and so I shouldn't speak on their behalf, but I certainly have never witnessed that.
Okay. Well,
thank
we'll
you.
Leave it at that.
Councillor Grace.
Because I'm going to take that up in my private life planning about the length of time it's taken to get this new planning scheme up and running. I mentioned at last council meeting about an elderly lady waiting an hour and a half for an ambulance to arrive down at our complex at Christian Homes only a week or so ago. That lady was found to have a broken neck and laid there for an hour and a half. My question is tonight, the same thing happened at Margate last week. An elderly woman fell coming out of the physios and again had to wait an hour and a half before she received any medical attention from an ambulance. So my question is, as I said to you before, Mayor, if you were re-elected, I think this council and would need to follow up, because the main question I have is how many ambulances have we got stationed within our municipality at any one time?
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Look, I couldn't tell you those figures, and I'm very sorry to hear that that was the case for that elderly lady. That would have been very distressing for her and for her family, and I hope she is all right. I think we all acknowledge that there is a huge problem with our health system, and that extends to our ambulance system as well. And I know I'm not going to be an apologist for the state government, but I know they have been working hard to try and encourage people to only ring ambulances when it is urgent. But there is a whole flow-on effect of ramping and lack of ambulances, as well as trying to educate the community as to what is urgent and what isn't. Clearly, that was an urgent case. As I said last week, I have been making representations on behalf of the community to the state government in relation to an ambulance station in the Channel area, as well as improved facilities for all of our emergency services here in Kingston, and those discussions are continuing. At the end of the day, it is a decision for the state government, but one that I will continue to advocate very strongly to our colleagues in the state government, and hope that they recognise that we are a growing community, that we do need sufficient emergency services to cater for that demand, and because the last thing we want to see is any members of our community suffer as a result of lengthy waits from ambulances.
Another question, Mayor, with your and the General Manager operations with the greater city, are you and the General Manager supporting this new multi-million dollar stadium for AFL football or whatever it is at Macquarie Point? My question is, surely we're not going to support that sort of an issue.
It's not something that this council has taken a position on. It's a matter for the state government. My personal opinion is that a $750 million stadium is unnecessary and unaffordable for the state at this point of time. I believe for the reasons that we've just talked about in relation to health and affordable housing and so on, that it's pretty mistimed when you consider that there is a 21,000-seat stadium at which is UTAS Stadium at York Park in Launceston, and the proposed stadium down here is only an additional 2,000 seats. Admittedly, the difference is that it will be covered and could attract other events to the state. I'm disappointed that the AFL bid has come to that, having to be a necessary part of it, because certainly in 2007-2008, when I was previously tasked the job as Minister for Tourism and Economic Development of trying to secure an AFL team for Tasmania, something clearly I didn't achieve at that point, the need to have a stadium with a roof was not part of that deal. So I think there are a lot of Tasmanians who feel like that at the moment, and I can only encourage them to make their voices known to the state government.
Just two more quick ones. Madam Chair, I can't leave this table without raising this issue once more. I'm sorry, I've bored you to death on it. Is the bus stop down at the junction of Old Station Road and Channel Highway? We went to all that length. I'm getting it painted pink. I've been told that many times that Metro say we don't own it. They own it. Well, the community owns it, and that was reinforced again, that it was built by the community. Please, I noted, and while I'm raising it again, I noted the weekend they'd painted it again, repainted it because of the graffiti down there. My final question is, and I know you're working...
Can I just ask Mr. Smee perhaps to give us an update in relation to that? Because I really did hope, and I say this with all sincerity, because I do appreciate that over an extended period of time you have been actively wanting to see a resolution to that matter, and I had hoped that before you left us that we would have that resolved. But I don't know if Mr. Smee could provide us with an update.
Through you, Mayor, I have heard nothing further from the family in relation to this matter, and my hands are very much tied by the fact that Metro consider it to be their asset, despite what might have been the history of the site. It's on state government-owned land, and given it's attached to state government-owned land and they claim responsibility for the asset, we can only act with their approval, and they have indicated that they would be amenable to some sort of a plaque going on it, but that's in the hands of the family as to whether they wish to pursue that option, and that's been communicated to the family, but as yet they haven't given a response as to whether they want to go down that track.
I don't want to...
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Mr. Councillor Grace.
...go on about that, but I spoke to the family and no, they won't, because they're so disappointed that this council do not support women with cancer or...
Well, that's not correct. Councillor Grace, let's not mar your last meeting with an accusation of something that is not correct.
Well, I've mentioned
it's a complicated... It is a complicated
situation. Well, we gave a letter to you also, Mayor, from the Community Association saying they built it.
I'm aware of that, yeah. And we provided that to Metro Tasmania.
Okay, well, let's leave it at that because you are aware of that. Now, just finally, Madam Chair, regarding a question raised about the Carlos Group, the Carlos Group, their tenants walked away. He's no longer interested in the development at Margate because the public, in my opinion, was misled in a report that came to council stating that the council had spent $600,000 on that shopping centre site, which, as we all know, is not the case. But it got round to the town that council have spent that money. As far as giving them a rate recession or whatever they ask for, also we can't talk about things that happened in closed session. But my question is to you, Mayor, we know that other developments through Kingston have been given a huge boost to get their developments up and running, and it's a shame that this didn't come out to the public because I'm confident if the people in Margate and Snug was aware of other businesses getting a reduction, they would understand why I fought so hard to get this development. But the tenants have walked away, and I can also tell you...
I'm waiting for that question, Councillor Grace.
Now, the question is, I believe, too, that another development in Margate, the doctor's surgery, has also walked away.
Okay. I think there was a question in there, so I'm going to answer what I think was the question. it is correct that in previous years... a long time ago, and Councillor Fox would be able to remember, as would Councillor Wass, and you yourself, Councillor Grace, in decades gone by, Kingborough Council did provide rates relief in the form of for some developments within Kingborough. That is very much on the public record, and in fact, the debate that we had in relation to the development at Margate by the Kayless Group was held deliberately in open session. We sought permission from the Kayless Group and received it to have that debate in open session so that the community could be aware of what was being asked, what the history of assistance for that site was, and during that debate we did talk about publicly about the assistance that had been provided a long time ago to various developers. Because at that time there was very little development occurring within Kingborough, and it was the my understanding is that it was the wish of councils, subsequent councils at that time, to provide some sort of stimulus and assistance in order to have that development take place. Now in 2022 we're in a vastly different circumstance in terms of the amount of economic activity occurring within Kingborough, and so combined with the concern from the community that was expressed to councillors collectively when the ask from the Kayless Group was provided, it was the decision, it was the majority decision of the council when that debate took place some months ago to refuse the request for the reasons that I've outlined.
Yes, and I, Mayor, I don't want to get into trouble again, but I fully understand that. But you see, the people were told in that open council report that $600,000 had already been spent on that site, which it hadn't, and that's never come back out.
No, that it has. It had. I'm happy for the general manager or someone to reiterate what the circumstances of that assistance was. General manager.
Through you, Mayor, Councillor Grace, the matter that you've raised questions about is on the public record. It was brought to Council on two occasions. There are two reports, and both reports, to the best of my knowledge and understanding, were accurate insofar as the advice from the officers.
I don't want to debate it, but I got which indicate that's not the case, and I could provide those. Thank you for being patient with me on my last night. Madam Chair, I will miss you. I will study this business about how to ask a question because it's worried me for 22 years, so I might go back to kindergarten and ask them to please explain.
You always get there in the end with a bit of prompting. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Next, I have Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be quick, and I'm happy for these to be taken on notice. Are council staff aware of a significant drainage issue with respect to outdoor netball court 3 at the Kimbra Sports Centre?
Mr Smee or Mr Reeve? I'm not sure. Mr Smee, we'll start with.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, we are, and our stormwater engineers doing work in relation to that, but it will require a capital bid to resolve it.
The follow-on question from that is consideration being given to the conflict between those drainage issues and the urgent need to resurface at least that court and potentially one or two others, the conflict being that if the drainage issues aren't fixed, there's not a lot of point resurfacing the court. Like I say, happy for that to be taken on notice.
Do you want to add anything to that, Mr Smee?
Through you, Mayor, we're certainly aware of the need to resurface the courts and the associated matter of drainage. My understanding is there's the potential to resurface some of the courts that aren't impacted by the drainage and then do the others once the drainage is fixed. But, certainly we are aware.
And can I just add to that that I have undertaken to the Kingston Netball Association that I would go and talk to them about the issue, as I wasn't able to be at the carnival yesterday. You may be aware that one of our bids for the recent federal election that we pitched to all parties was an upgrade of the Kingborough Sports Centre that would involve moving more of the netball courts indoors and having additional indoor courts, because there is a preference these days for netballers to play inside rather than outdoor, but also that would have involved upgrading the two outdoor courts as well. So part of that was we'd received some funding from the state government to look at the condition of those courts. And then there was sort of a subsequent look at what we could do overall. And as we're all now aware, we didn't receive any funding from the federal government towards that. So it does require a rethink to ensure that the courts are of a safe standard for the netballers. And certainly I'll be meeting with them in the coming weeks. Okay, no further questions. I think that's the longest question time that we've had in this 4 years. All right, let me find where we are. We are still on page 4. We're now at questions on notice from councillors. There were 9 questions on notice. I'll go through them as quickly as possible. Welcome to Kettering sign from Councillor Bastone with a response from Mr Reeve. Use of bus stops at Blackmans Bay from Councillor Street with a response from Mr Reeve. Barrier on underpass to wetlands by Councillor Bastone with a response from Mr Smee. Page 5, weed spraying from Councillor Bastone and a response from Ms Reichhardt. Page 8, landscape conservation zoning from Councillor Cordova with a response from Mr Stander. Page 9, dog poo bag dispensers on Bruny Island from Councillor Bastone and an officer's response from Mr. Reeve. Also on page 9, hall maintenance on Bruny Island from Councillor Bastone with a response from Mr. Milhouse. Road grading on Bruny Island from Councillor Bastone with a response from Mr. Reeve. And page 10, fence dog park on Bruny Island from Councillor Bastone and an officer's response from Mr. Smee. At this point, we were going to move into the Planning Authority. However, DA 2022-43, development application for 4 multiple dwellings at 54 Van Murray Road, Margate. The report has been withdrawn at the request of the applicant. So we continue in open session. Takes us now to page 73, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. And petitions received in the last period at the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions received. We are still on page 73, officers' reports to council, new lease, Silverwater Park, Woodbridge, with a recommendation on page 74. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I'm wondering if Councillor Bastone is going to just jump at this as one of her last hurrahs. Councillor Bastone to move, and a seconder and Councillor Grace. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. This is to create a new lease with the state government on part of Silverwater Park. Part of it we already own. So this is the part that is the car park and the track that walks around to the marine centre. There's 11 parcels of land, of freehold land, that the council own, and we've been using this land and had no tenure over it since 1989. We've done a lot of improvements to the land, including the toilets, but they are on our own land. And we also have been maintaining the pathway and jetty road. So I think the sooner we get this legal, the better. So that's my advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Any further speakers? Okay, if not, I will put the motion moved by Councillor Bastone, seconded by Councillor Grace, that Council resolve to authorise the General Manager to sign a lease over Crown land at Silverwater Park in Woodbridge for a term of 10 years plus options at a peppercorn rental. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to page 77, Bruny Island Tennis Club, transfer of assets to council, with a recommendation of page 78.
Can Councillor Bastone move, and I'll second that. She's the chairman of the...
I'd like you to be able to do this one, and I'll second it, Councillor.
Okay. Councillor Grace, would you like to move that?
Yes, I would.
Yep, and seconded by Councillor Bastone. Councillor Grace.
Yes, I think it's a very good step forward on this. It's been vacant for a long, long time, and I believe that council, in its wisdom, moving forward, will find some use or better use for those facilities. So I fully support the recommendation here.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Any further speakers? Councillor Fox.
I understand this area is quite well used by locals for playing tennis, and a lot of people visit it. The concern is, though, that there may not... The community didn't realise that they're not a group that's able to get insurance, and by passing this on to council, council can take on the insurance of the facilities and also possibly do some remediation of removal of asbestos and improve the toilets to make them accessible for all users. So I think it's a good move, and the community will benefit, and it's in the council's interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Next, I've got Councillor Westwood and then Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have some questions around the finance section. Do we have any idea of the cost that might be involved for the ongoing maintenance and also the upfront investment that might be required into the assets?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the cost of resurfacing the court based on the recent one we did at Middleton, I would suggest would be about $50,000. Until we do the condition assessment on the club rooms, I couldn't give an indication as to what that might cost to bring up to standard. It does depend on what that assessment might uncover. So, but certainly the court being a asset that's open to the public and having done a similar one at Middleton, that's the type of figure that we'd be looking at.
Thank you. Is there anything in the CAPEX program that would cover the cost of upgrading the court?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, no, it's not something that we have in our five-year plan. In saying that, we were able to secure a grant towards the Middleton Tennis Court, and if there's demonstrated community need for the one at Ken's Point, then certainly we'd look to pursue similar external funding so that it wouldn't all have to come from council.
And is council able to include these assets on its current insurance policy?
Through you, Mayor, yes. If they are added to our asset register, they then become covered by our insurance.
Thank you.
Any further speakers? Oh, sorry, Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions regarding the sport and recreation strategy. I note, thank you, Mr. Smee, was last reviewed in 2013. And since then, I think there's been a lot of decisions that have been made against the strategy and perhaps some that have not been. So would this facility be added, if we were to then review the sport and recreation strategy, this would be added to that as part of like an audit to assess which area has priority over others?
And Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, that's exactly what the strategy would endeavour to do, is to look at need, condition and set priorities. So I understand there's already some community consultation occurring by a local group on Bruni in relation to this matter, but that can certainly be fed into the review of our municipal-wide sport and rec strategy.
Thank you. Further contributions? Councillor Grace, did you want to sum up? No? If not, I'll put the motion. It's as printed in the agenda and on the screen. Moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Bastone. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Turning now to page 84, Rate Rebate Conservation Covenant, with a recommendation on page 85. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved to Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Wass. Councillor Fox.
Generally, when people ask, we agree, so I don't see any reason why not to in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussions? If not, I will put the motion as printed in the agenda. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Wass. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Turning now to page 86, Advisory Committee's Terms of Reference Amendments, with a recommendation on page 87. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Fox, seconded yes. Councillor Gladright. Councillor Fox.
I think it's a very good idea to have two representatives on all the committees that we have. It often occurs that somebody's away, and sometimes we even have to ask one of the members of the committee to chair, and that's not always appropriate. I think having a backstop, so to speak, also helps a wider range of councillors being involved in these committees, and I think adjusting the terms of reference for all committees to be the same is an excellent idea. I notice some are not as broad and as comprehensive as others, but to bring them all up to the same standard, I think, improves the situation all round and gives a better understanding of what the committees are able to do and how they operate. So I think it's a very good suggestion from staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I also agree that it's a great decision. Just another question related to committees. Do we ever do like a evaluation from the committee members about what's been working well and what hasn't been working well in regards to committees? So we've discussed that at KBAC, and I'm just wondering if that's something that other committees have looked at doing.
So there's nothing formal in place. I guess it would be up to the chair of each committee to determine how to undertake that. I know at the Access Committee that we just sort of reflected our last meeting of the year about what we achieved and what we'd like to achieve for the following year. If chairs wanted to do something more more structured in terms of surveying members, that would entirely be up to each chair as to how to do that. And I guess you'd be in the best position then to know the way that the committee interacts and whether that would be something that they would like.
Thank you, Mayor. On Friday, this room unfortunately wasn't available, so we met across the road down through the old Youth Centre building.
Beach Road,
and I must admit that the committee really liked that informal space meeting over there. And it had a really great screen as well, interactive, so it was really great for presentations as well.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Just before I ask Councillor Fox if she'd like to close debate, this idea actually came from me thinking about the new makeup of the council, the fact that we're losing four of our members after the end of this council with the upcoming elections, and I thought it might provide an opportunity for some of the new councillors to get involved in areas that they're passionate about, and it does also provide that additional sort of safeguard if one of the councillors appointed to a committee is unable to attend. We've got some continuity, but I just think that, I still lament I'm just going to say it again because I'm always saying it, I still lament the end of our committee system, the other committee system that we had. You weren't here, so you can't comment. They were a very good thing and very useful for newly elected councillors as well to get involved in particular issues. But we have these advisory committees, and they also, whilst they work differently, they work very effectively and could be a great way for new incoming councillors to be involved. So I'm thank everybody for their support for this, and we will just so you're aware then at the first meeting, the reason we've brought this now is so that at the first meeting of the new council scheduled for the 7th of November, Monday the 7th of November, we will be calling for nominees for each of those committees. So that's something for the continuing members to consider. And we will certainly, you'll have to excuse my voice tonight, I'm trying my very hardest not to spread my germs. That is something that we will certainly be communicating to successful candidates as well as soon as we can, that they might like to think about which committees they might like to nominate for. And if we have more nominees, more than two for each position, then there will, of course, be a secret ballot, which is democracy in action. So thank you very much. Councillor Fox, did you want to sum up?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I understand, I know we've always had advisory committees. Our Access Advisory Committee is is the first in Tasmania, which was set up in 88. And some people have been involved with those for many, many years. And they used to report to the council committees. So the reports from those committees went to separate committees within council, but coming to full council I think is a good thing because all councillors are on full council and we don't have some people missing out and others are not. So I think this system has worked well, and I think also to reiterate often there's an informal arrangement that a person who is an interested councillor will back up the sitting chair, but I think it's a good thing that we're formalising it. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to put the motion as moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Gladewright, that Council endorses the amended terms of reference for our three advisory committees as attached to that report. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to the financial report for September 2022 with a recommendation on page 98. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Move Councillor Westwood, seconded Councillor Gladewright. Councillor Westwood, on your last financial report.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I may have moved almost all of the financial reports in the 4 years that I've sat
except
on this
for when
council.
You've been in the chair.
Yes,
yeah.
True. This report is as at the 30th of September. It does show an underlying forecast result of a deficit of $79,000. This compares to the forecast surplus of $21,000 that we were anticipating for the financial year when we set the budget. So it does reflect $100,000 negative position from that forecast at budget time. The report in front of us notes that recent increases in inflation are starting to impact the financial outcomes of council, and that the move to a deficit highlights the impact of inflationary pressures on council's budget. I think I mentioned last time I moved this report that council isn't immune to inflationary pressures. In the same way that households are experiencing cost of living increase pressures, council is also experiencing increases in the cost of services and the cost of its CapEx program. So I guess going forwards, for the new councillors, I urge you to continue the responsible financial management that has been a hallmark, I think, of the last 4 years of this council. I hope you have someone who will keep a close eye and move the financial reports for you. And so for now, I note the result as at the 30th of September.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Gladright.
Thank you. There's a mistake on page 109 in the heading, and I'm assuming that it's just the heading and not the whole page.
Thank you. Yes, it is just the heading. Thank you very much. Any further contributions? Councillor Grace.
Yeah, Mr. Green may be able to help me. I don't see in the Capital Works the Snug Bridge, which has been completed for some time, the actual cost of that.
Mr. Reeve, can you help us with that? The footbridge at Snug. Mr. Yeah. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, as far as I know, I thought that some of those fundings may have been in this year, but part of them were for last year as well, so I don't have it in front of me, that particular page that you're actually referring to.
Can I get a note on that later?
Yes,
yes,
please. The other question I have, the stormwater for the wetlands, what's the street coming down there onto the highway? They just built the new roundabout and so forth. It's looking pretty good. Is it too early? We haven't got any financial report on how that's going with expenditure. And the other question was regarding stormwater. I thought the stormwater was taken out of the original contract for the wetlands. If I could get some answers on that.
Mr. Smee can help us with that one.
Through you, Mayor. So the road leading down is Goshawk Way. That works are not yet finished, so all of the costs wouldn't be in on that. But you're correct, Councillor Grace, the stormwater was taken out of that contract, and we need to provide a further report to Council, which we will do very shortly, detailing the cost of the stormwater works.
Question then, this stormwater on page, 157, it says Kingston Park. It's the last item right down the bottom. It says KP Stormwater Wetlands, which has been spent $319,000. So where's that stormwater been? Or is that maybe you might have to have a look at it and come back to me. I'm quite happy for that.
I think, yeah. Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor, we've certainly spent funding on design work, and there are other elements of Kingston Park where we've done stormwater infrastructure, but the actual treatment with the upgrade of the wetlands will be the subject of a further council report. But there has certainly been some expenditure on stormwater in Kingston Park to date, and a lot of that does relate to the design work for the wetlands project.
So you confirm that's a work been carried out in an original contract and another contract, Chair?
Mr. Smee.
That's C03280. It's okay, we can...
Can we take that on notice?
Yeah, okay.
Because I think Smee hasn't been able to locate that in the time. Thank you. Yeah. Any further questions? No?
Thanks, Mayor, I have a question.
The only thing is we'll miss our councillor over there for the 4 years. She has picked up many things.
I'm sensing a sense of warmth from you this evening, Councillor Grace. It is a good thing, Councillor Midgley.
Ditto, I agree with that also. I am wondering, so for Kingston Park, we have expenditure outlined. I've asked before in regards to transform Kingston budget. I'm just wondering, I know we haven't spent too much money, but we have spent some money in regards to design and things like that. Will that be a separate table as well?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yes, just on the next page there, under City Deal Funding, is the on page 150. There's a section there for City Deal Funding, which will include all the Transform Kingston expenditure.
Is that
page? Top of the page, thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? If not, Councillor Westwood, did you want to sum up with some last words of wisdom? Some of your, you know, very, very last ones? No. If not, I will put the motion that Council endorses the attached financial report as of the 30th of September 2022, moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Gladright. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried unanimously. We move on to notices of motion on page 155. There were no notices of motion. Before going into closed session, however, I did want to, given that this is the last council meeting of this particular council, when we return here, we will look different with at least four different faces around the table. So I thought it would be remiss not to acknowledge the fact that we have four councillors at the moment who are retiring slash not recontesting their seats. I don't know which way to put that, because you say retirement and people think of a particular age, so I'll say who have chosen not to recontest their seats. What is unique about the four people who have not chosen to stand is that collectively they have provided their community with 61 years of service between them. And so that is quite significant, and so I didn't want the occasion to go past unmarked, as I've said on numerous times throughout this, particularly through this campaign. I think that anybody who stands for public office should be congratulated. It's not an easy thing to do. I've been reflecting on the fact that between state government and here, that this is my ninth election. I'm hesitate to ask others around this table how many elections that they have been involved in over their period of service to the community, but it is obviously a lot, and they are exhausting times, as I think those of us who are standing again at the moment can attest to. But collectively, I did want to thank everybody around the table for the contributions that they have made over the 4 years of this council, and in particular over the last 14 months as we've been in the current makeup that sits around the table today. I think that our community has been fortunate to have a broad range of representation from of people with different interests that sit around the table, and I think that it can only strengthen a council decision-making process. But I have particularly appreciated in my time as Mayor the way that we've been able to have really constructive debates. And you know, whilst we don't always agree, for a large part, we've been able to set that aside and continue with the work of council. So I direct my remarks particularly to those four who are retiring today, but also to other councillors who are seeking re-election, because it just strikes me as something unusual that we are in this situation, that this is the last time we sit as the current council. So I wanted to thank you for all the contributions that you've made. So I did email around to councillors last week and let them know that I was going to ask the four not recontesting councillors to if they would like to make a contribution of up to 4 minutes each, and I'd do it very democratically in alphabetical order. So Councillor Bastone, if you would like to start. Councillor Bastone started with council, I think, in 2014. Correct? Yes, I'm glad I got that right. And I think one of the things that we all reflect on with Councillor Bastone was her championing of the Channel area in particular, of which she was a long-term resident, and also Bruny Island, but also chairing the Safety Committee of recent time. But certainly, Councillor Bastone, you'll be very sadly missed, I think, by people in the Channel in particular, because you've never hesitated to put their point of view on issues. So please share with us some final thoughts.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I wrote it down because I thought otherwise I'll forget. So it's with some sadness I've decided not to seek re-election for council. I feel sometimes you can stay too long, and I felt the time was right for me to step aside and let younger people continue the good work at our council. And when I look back on my 7 years on council, I think of all the people who have made my time such a pleasure, and so many of them are the staff. From the amazing front counter staff, who, despite having to deal with disgruntled people at times, are always cheerful. The IT department, led by Fred, who's helped this Luddite when technology has overwhelmed me. The finance department, with John and Tim, who were always helpful in explaining finance to me, because I'm not good at finance. And thanks especially to Tim, because he always cheered me up with stories of his wonderful holidays full of amazing adventures. So that was good. The engineering department, and a very patient David, who always took the time to explain why all the unsealed roads couldn't be either sealed or at least graded once a month, and the culverts cleaned weekly. And I did ask him, along with a myriad of other requests I put to him. The general manager, Gary, and Daniel Smee, who knew all the rules and regulations regarding local government and were always happy to explain things to me. I know I've left many out, but the list could go on and on with me naming nearly every member of staff. Sam, Katrina, Penny, John, Tony, Anthony, Stuart, Renee, Scott, Mel, nearly every department, but I'm limited to 4 minutes, so I'll just... I must mention, though, Carol, the head of the cleaning, whose cheery hello, Mrs. Sue, before every council meeting, set me into the right frame of mind. I have to really also thank the wonderful Amanda Morton, who is an amazing fund of wisdom and who, for nothing, was too much trouble for her. As all of us do, I stood for council with the hope of being able to be part of a team to make Kingborough a better place. And I believe that as a council, we have collegiately and for the collective good done that. I've had a few regrets. There's no rubbish collection south of Conyngham, but we did get a survey done. It's probably pretty good. As a council, we weren't brave enough to move the service station from the main street of Kingston when we had the opportunity. The solar farm has not been built at Beretta. The footpath at Kettering has not been built. But Woodbridge is getting one, which most residents don't want. On the bright side, Gomara Road has been remade. Kingston Park has been built. The hub has been built. There are new toilets built. Halls upgraded. FOGO bins operating. Solar panels on the sports centre. Some gravel roads have been resealed. The playgrounds are being upgraded. There are so many successes and so many projects approved but not yet built like Silverwater Park, the Woodbridge Hall toilets and the new Kettering toilets. I've enjoyed meeting and forming friendships with our community from Bruny Island, the Channel and Kingston, and have particularly enjoyed being part of the Kingborough and Huon Business Enterprise Centre, originally as the Council's representative and later on as the Chair. And finally, my thanks must go to my fellow councillors, a mixed bag, multi-aged group of people, lawyers, actors, social workers, ex-bank managers, ex-politicians, public service teachers, who despite their different political affiliations or no affiliations, have worked hard to put our community at the heart of all we do. In life, one must have guiding principles. For myself and my family, it's always been, whatever you can do for others, do it, because at the end of the day, if you've changed just one person's life for the better, then there was a reason to be there. And I hope that reason was why I was elected. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bastine. Councillor Grace we move to now. Councillor Grace was elected, as he often tells us, in the year 2000, so a lot happened in the millennium. So he has served council for 22 years and is that makes him the third longest serving councillor in the current council. I think it's fair to say that one thing that we all know about Councillor Grace is that he's very passionate about issues and he at times is colourful in his language, but we know that your intention is always to represent the people that you are elected to represent, and you have done so with at times vigour, but definitely passion. And I know that you've had some health issues in recent times, and I just wanted to say on behalf of all of us that we do sincerely hope that you continue in good health long into your retirement. I don't feel like we have seen the last of you. I'm sure that you will come along to meetings and ask questions from the public gallery, as is your right as a ratepayer. You might need some time to wean off from us, you see. It might be you might miss us. But Councillor Grace, would you like to share some thoughts?
Well, I didn't get the email because I've been offline now with the supply I had. I didn't renew the contract.
I should have sent you.
That's okay. It would have cost the council a lot of money unnecessary, so I decided to disconnect it and put my own private one on. Look, lots of things I can say as far as achievements concerned. I really don't count my achievements because I look at it's just a day in the office, day round the table, doing what I can do for the community. I love the community. I can talk to a black stump and it will talk back to me because that's the type of person I am. The community's been very, very, very good to me and my wife. We've never had any threats or anything from the community over 22 years, and I think that's an achievement on its own. I've always adored staff. I always take the time, as the general manager's caught me many times over custom services, stirring up the girls there and saying hello or whatever, because I enjoy and I know what they have to put up with, because some of the things that I've had to put up with, my wife never swore until I went on the council, and once we got these mobile phones with speakers, the language that some people talk to you on was, but that's people that I deal with, and that's people the way they deal. I guess the footpath from Margate to Snug was a great achievement with Jackie Petrushma, and I thank her sincerely for her support through, and plus the council, staff, Ian Holloway, if I may mention, and others. There's been many other projects that I've been involved in. But at the end of the day, I look at it this way. Whoever achieves something is good for the community, because that's what we're all sitting around the table for. It doesn't matter who achieves it, as long as we get it. finally, I guess the big achievement that never sank in for a long, long time was when I stood for deputy mayor and Graham stood for mayor and I outpolled him on the votes. He wasn't too pleasant, or he wasn't too happy when he found out I was deputy mayor. But we sorted that out because that's what council's all about. I think Greg Alomes was the general manager and was quite shocked. But anyway, I want to say to the public, I'm not aggressive. It's the way I am. It's the way I brought up. When you've been brought up in a family of 10 in a four-bedroom house, you fought for everything. You had a pair of socks or if you could get a pair, if you know what I mean. And it was a hard life back in the... I was born in 44 and my mum, my dad, they worked pretty hard to try and keep us all. Yes, I did go off the rails a bit. Nobody knows, only myself, the illness that I've had, how it's affected my whole body and system. I didn't want to stand at the last election. I said I wasn't going to. But Dean and Joe with a group spoke to me and I got out and supported them. And I was re-elected, and hindsight, probably the wrong thing because I was ready to go 4 years ago. But I've enjoyed it, and you're right, Mayor. I'll be keeping an eye on the whole show, and I hope when I do walk in the chambers that people still acknowledge me as,
of course, we
as
will.
David. That's it. And Gary, you and I never ever see eye to eye sometimes, but we don't take a grudge against each other. You treat me professionally as the general manager, and I've always treated you professionally. And I, whatever you do in your future, all the best wishes. I haven't met the new lady here, but I wish you all the best with our council too. All right, and thank you to the girls and put the cameras on me when I'm not looking, particularly when I had a can of Cascade. I think they might give me some Cascade Draft, Cascade Bureau. Who knows? All right, good luck. Whoever gets elected, good luck. You know the job. You know what you've got to do. And if you don't forget the people that elect you, you'll do all right.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. We move now to Councillor Watts, who was elected in 1994 and so has served the community for 28 years. So that is certainly a significant amount of time. And, of course, Councillor Watts was the Mayor between 2014 and 2018, and I was fortunate enough to serve as his deputy. I think that Councillor Watts will be remembered for certainly his extensive networks throughout the community. It seems that he knows everybody or everybody knows him, his involvement in a lot of sporting clubs and other organisations such as the Channel Heritage Museum, but also I think his Councillor Bastone's got a song she'd like to perform for you. but also I think Councillor Watts will be very much remembered for his well-considered, thoughtful contributions on the many debates that we've had over the years. You're certainly a very good orator, and I know that's been appreciated. So, Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm glad you told me when I was elected because I got asked this week how long you've been on. I said, I don't know, 27, 28, 29 years. I got no idea. Now I know. Look, I guess first off I would like to thank the residents for those 28 years, wasn't it? 28 years. I got asked to stand as a councillor. I got asked to stand as deputy mayor. I got asked to stand as mayor, and it all came from the community. I had no really intentions of standing for those positions. I was happy being a councillor. And I think on that I've had 12 or 14 years as deputy mayor, one term as mayor. And I just like to think that I have hopefully met all the expectations from the community. The community gave me trust. It's been a pleasure, it's been a privilege and an honour to represent, and sometimes we've had some fine words with state and federal politicians, and my time as mayor with Gary, I think we read the riot act to a few state and federal politicians, and I'm happy to see what's happening now at Hobart, because that means that the AAD has got a better chance of staying here. So from that point of view, although I did get a verbal and a couple of written confirmations that the AAD, if they were removed, there would be a similar or larger number of employees relocated. I've had no health issues in my life until the 1st of January 1988. In 1988, I was, to be quite frank, about that far from death. Scared the daylights out of me, obviously. I made the decision at the end of 88 that I wouldn't stand. I got talked into standing again, and I certainly made the decision after the... Sorry, I said 88, 1918.
1918.
Yeah, 2018. Hey, I don't even know what... It's just Tuesday, isn't it? Now I've lost track. And I made the decision in 2018 that this was going to be my last term. The most of my children on the mainland, I want the freedom to get up and go and visit when I want, not as I can't, because every Monday night has been tied up. You know, in those 28 years, I've never missed one council meeting. For my birthday, my wife's birthday, my children, my parents or my parents-in-law, brother, and I'm proud of that. Likewise, if there's been an anniversary, I have always been here, because I believe that if you're going to represent the community and you're going to take a small allowance to do so, I believe that you're obligated to do that, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I would also like to thank the staff. I won't mention names. Look, it's been a pleasure to work with and for staff. I've always had very cordial relationships with staff. Staff have asked me a number of things, and always when I've asked them, I've got the answer. Not necessarily the answer I was looking for, but I've certainly got the answer as they see it, and I don't think I've had any conflicts whatsoever. I'd also like to mention, I suppose, the general managers. I think there's probably five or six that I've worked with in that time. I think I was on the recruiting panel for the last five. So if you don't like Gary, blame me. But each of those general managers have brought something positive to the this municipality, and Gary's no exception in that, of course. And I think we've always had the right GM at the right time. I know there were a number of people upset with one of those many years ago, but I still believe he was very functional and did exactly what the community wanted him to do. I do believe, well, I'm not going to cover my achievements or disappointments. There have been a few disappointments. I don't think you want to listen to something that I say for about the next 2 hours.
No.
But,
sorry. Oh, sorry. I meant to say the inside voice.
That's all right.
Unfortunately, our time would not permit that, but
no.
Do continue for at least a minute longer.
And I would like to say that there is an issue simmering on the community, and that is to the councillors that are re-elected and to the new councillors. Please look at the land conservation zone. Please make sure you get it right. And please listen to the community in that area, not necessarily just slide it from one scheme to another. Because if you slide it from one scheme to another, I can assure you with my phone and emails and everything else that's been going on, it's going to be a long drawn out, and there's going to be a lot of angst against council. to those candidates running at the election, that's the present councillors, best wishes. To those retiring, may your pasture, I suppose, be green. And I would like to thank all councillors, both present and in the past, for their work with me and with me with them. I've enjoyed it. I often say to people, if I wasn't enjoying it, I would walk away, and that has always been my thoughts. I have enjoyed it. In some ways, I wish I was going to continue on, but my health has been a concern, and the other issue is I want to see my family, and particularly with COVID, that really put a dent in my life. So all the best, everyone. Best of health and best wishes.
Thank you.
Could I just add one thing I did forget, and a big achievement was that I'm grateful for the letter from the Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen regarding our municipality within the bushfires, and I thought that was a great achievement, not only by myself, the staff that wrote the letters, got the responses back, and we have the evidence in our record office up there.
Very historic. Thank you, Councillor Grace. So now we come to Councillor Westwood, who has, of course, been the Deputy Mayor for the last 4 years. I think it's already been mentioned this evening that Councillor Westwood has put a fine-tooth comb over the financial reports every meeting that she has been in attendance at, and you've certainly had the expertise to deal with those that we will miss in the next term. I feel very fortunate that I have had you as my deputy for the last 14 months while I've been in this role. I have no ill feeling towards you that you beat me for deputy in 2018. and I think that you have filled the role very, very well, and I know that you're very highly regarded in the community, and that a lot of people have expressed to me that they're very sad that you are not recontesting. Quite frankly, I think, you know, we should never put labels on people, but I think you've been a superwoman the way that you have managed to juggle a four-day-a-week job in state government with quite significant responsibility in that role, with your role as Deputy Mayor and with four children all in primary school. That is quite remarkable, and something that you certainly have my admiration for, and most others, I think, around this table. So, over to you, Deputy, for the last time.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the only person who thought I would beat you for deputy was my mum. So there you go. but I came to council 4 years ago, driven by a desire to see more diversity in decision making. So more age and gender diversity in our decision making, and I really think that we have achieved that as a council. We have a reputation for being really collaborative and talking and really debating issues and getting to the heart of what's the best thing for our community, and I think we should all be really proud of that. I think I've tried to do the role a little bit differently, because I have been amongst the community just because I have four children, and I've been quite active at a grassroots level. So I haven't approached it as a typical politician would have, I don't think. I have listened from the sidelines and really tried to reflect the whole of our community in my decision making. So I have been, less open to being lobbied by small minority groups, really taken seriously that responsibility of making decisions on behalf of 40,000 people. With former Mayor Dean Winter, I think our complementary skill sets really elevated Kingborough to part of the Greater Hobart Greater Hobart Forum. We're now recognised
as one of the large metro councils, and I think our name comes to mind when state government and the federal government talk about the municipalities in Tasmania, and I think that flowing from that is has been a greater investment and greater focus on Kingaroy recently. I'm really pleased to see some of the things coming to fruition, a focus on reducing congestion on the outlet, the park and rides, more frequent bus services. And probably one of my key achievements was with my colleagues working to bring a destination playground to Kingston. I remember before I was elected, a lot of my friends, we would all drive to the Eastern Shore, and I always remember thinking, why are we driving out of our municipality to go to take our kids to the playground? And now I'm really aware that people drive here, and I think we should all be really proud of the playground that we have. And I've been watching Stage 2 come together and really excited to see how that how that's received when it's open. Review of the long-term financial plan is something that I'm really proud of. With former Mayor Winter, we reviewed the plan. With my colleagues, we linked rates to long-term CPI, and the long-term financial plan now includes some strategic actions that are aimed at achieving long-term fiscal principles as part of the fiscal strategy to ensure budgetary decisions are aligned to longer-term outcomes. So please don't stuff that up while I'm gone. FOGO was also something that was brought to us during my term on council, and with Councillor Midgley, I really worked hard to find a position that was suitable to, I guess, all of the people around the table, because it was a very divisive issue. But I did know that it was very much wanted within the community, and particularly for pensioners who, a lot of people said couldn't afford the service, but also didn't have any way of getting to the tip. I think my mum might be the only resident in Kingborough that has two FOGO bins. I don't even know if that's a thing, but she does.
It might not be after you've just announced it. Mr. Breen and Mr. Reeve are over there going, oh, really?
Yeah. I think I've really tried to bring Frank and Fearless advice to the table, and to always be open and upfront in my position on things. I've really tried hard to listen to the community and to listen to my colleagues and come to the table with an open mind. That said, I can be terribly stubborn. So I think on some occasions when I really felt that I'd listened to the community, it was possibly hard to change my mind. I have not got better at public speaking. I still don't like public speaking after 4 years.
You're very good at it.
But probably care less about what others think of me, so swings and roundabouts. I hope I've inspired others of my demographic to run for council. I think looking at the candidates that we have this time around, we do have a lot of diversity and a lot of age diversity. It isn't easy to juggle being an elected representative with having a job and having a family, and I think you need a lot of support to do that. So I thank my family for helping me with that. My husband, who works in a customer-facing role, has been a pseudo-counsellor for the last 4 years. anyone who's bought a car from Co-op Toyota in Kingston has passed on any comments from council that they think I might like to. No. Thank you to the staff for your patience in stepping me through all the issues that I didn't understand when I came to the role, because I certainly underestimated the breadth of local government and the issues that I would be asked to make decisions on. So I really thank you for holding my hand through that process, particularly in relation to planning. I still think it is very difficult to be an elected representative and advocate for your community within the confines of the planning scheme as a member of a planning authority. And I guess my final comment is that I promise to email KC at Kingborough to report any issues and not complain about it on social media.
Well, thank you very much, and to all four of you on behalf of the rest of the councillors, and I'm sure on behalf of staff as well, we wish you all the very best in your future endeavours, and as Councillor Westwood has just alluded to, I'm sure we will see you on the ECM after emailing kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. Can I also just, before we do move into closed session, just as this is the last meeting of this council, just thank the staff, as others have, just for the support they've given this current council in everything that we ask of you and that you ask of us. We really appreciate the way that you help us in our decision making, as Councillor Westwood just so well outlined. It's complex. You all have areas of expertise. We don't, and sometimes we need a bit of extra help to get us through those difficult times, or when we just clearly don't get it, which sometimes we have those occasions. So thank you to all the staff who assist us, and we're in for a new era. I wish all candidates in the upcoming election all the very best. It feels like it's been a very long campaign, I have to tell you. I think the community feels like it's been a very long campaign. I know it feels like it's been a very long campaign. So I certainly look forward to us being able to have a bit of downtime from campaigning when it draws to a close next week. We do hope, just for the information of people around the table and also for the community, we do hope that we will have a result well and truly sort of within a few days of the polls being closed. I think because we don't, the TEC have indicated, because we have fewer number of candidates standing, that they should be able to get through our count fairly quickly, and certainly it is our intention at this stage to for the new councillors to take, or for all of us in the new all people who are elected as councillors to take the declaration of office, the oath of office, on the 2nd of November. And then the first council meeting of the new council will be held on Monday the 7th of November. And at that time we will obviously appoint people to the various committees that we've talked about this evening. So just so that the community are aware that that is, we'll also be having some induction for the members in the days after that and prior to the first council meeting, so that they know the lay of the land. So thank you to everyone. We are now at page 155, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session, confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, and general manager's performance review. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that we move into closed session. Moved Councillor Westwood, and seconded Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried. In accordance with the Kingborough Council meetings audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. Open session of Council adjourned at 7:23 p.m.